What's up? Hey, welcome to this edition of the Chalene Show. Today we are talking about something every woman has, and that is cellulite. I've done a couple of episodes previously on this, but today I'm going to talk to you about some things you can do about it. Like, first of all, understanding what it is, how it works, so that you can make better decisions on some of the dumb stuff that we see on the market when it comes to the treatment of cellulite. I'm going to give you a quick reminder of the things that you can do naturally on your own that can improve the appearance of it. And then I'm also going to talk about things that you can do that actually do work, meaning, I've done all the lifestyle things and I still have cellulite and it's driving me freaking bonkers. What treatments actually work? And there's some really interesting new treatments recently approved by the FDA. And I think this is going to give some of you who've spent a small fortune on lotions and potions and injections, lasers, fascia blasting, all those things. We're going to talk about all of that today. And I'm also going to share some of the new research on this latest technique, which I think we're going to find very promising. All right, let's get to it. Okay, I don't know if you listened to the episode I did a couple of Fridays ago, my CarSmart episodes. Those are usually, they're kind of like a personal journal. But on one of my recent ones, I talked about how I just got back my health results from, doing my blood tests and normal workups, my mammogram, pap smear, blah, blah, blah. And I was, a little humble brag. My numbers all came back for the first time in my adult life, perfectly balanced. Just 6 months earlier when I had had my levels tested, like everything was out of whack. My cortisol was through the roof. My testosterone was too low. My estrogen was too low. Like everything was off. And it was really kind of frustrating. And I knew why that was. It was because I wasn't being disciplined about taking the supplements that I know I need. And I just really committed myself to being disciplined about taking my supplements every single day, being way more consistent. So do you hear what this is? That is an iced green drink. Little delicious little number right here. And I'm going to tell you, drinking greens, for some people, they're like, ew, gross. This is quite tasty. It contains ashwagandha, moringa, spirulina, so it kind of gives it a little minty taste, chlorella, coconut water, wheatgrass, red beets, matcha green tea, turmeric, and lemon juice. Okay, and it's delicious. And I found this green drink by going into just a little juice shop right down in Dana Point by where I live. The coffee shop that I normally go into had a super long line, so I'm like, you know what? I'm going to try one of these green juices. And it was delicious. I never finish an afternoon coffee, but I drank every single drop of this green juice. And of course, I know the benefits of the ingredients, but I'm saying to myself, am I really going to start juicing every day? That's just not my style. I know me. I'm not even making lemon ginger water anymore because it's such a pain. And then, hello, it dawned on me, Organifi has a green juice. Let me check the ingredients. And sure enough, the Organifi greens powder, which I had at home, had every single one of the ingredients that I was drinking in this greens juice from the little place down the street that I just paid $8 for. It had every single ingredient minus carrot juice. And hello, I don't need that extra sugar anyways. But what it does have is prebiotic powder, which is great because that helps my digestive system. It's actually more important than the carrots anyways. This is my go-to now. I'm doing it once a day. It does have an acquired taste, not going to lie to you. If you're not into the green juice, they've got a red juice. They've got Organifi Pure, Organifi for your immune system. They've got an amazing chocolate drink that you can have at night to help you fall asleep. And it has all of these products are loaded with superfoods that help to reduce your cortisol, that help to improve your immune system, and give you the nutritional support that you need. And Organifi gives listeners of the Chalene Show 20% off when you go to Organifi, Organifi.com/Chalene. I'm going to spell it again, Organifi.com/Chalene. All right, ladies, allow me to shed a light on cellulite. Not a scientific study, but I did a poll to my nearly 800,000 Instagram followers, and I did this on my Instagram stories. I asked, ladies, do you have at least some form of cellulite somewhere on your body? And the response was, are you ready for this? 98% of respondents said yes. Okay, so hopefully just hearing that makes you relax a little bit. It's very normal if you're a woman or if you're a man who has a higher level of estrogen and a lower level of testosterone, you have cellulite. if you have parents, or in particular, your mother or sisters, your grandma had cellulite, there's a very strong genetic component to cellulite. It's natural, it's normal, but for whatever reason, we've decided it's very unattractive. And this is just brainwashing we've done to ourselves, ladies. Can you think of another feature that 98% of women have that society has said is unattractive and undesirable? Can you imagine? Can you imagine if we just suddenly decided that breast tissue was unattractive? It's so bizarre. It's literally a feminine trait. In fact, the higher your estrogen, meaning the more female traits you have, the more curves you have, natural occurring curves, that is, the higher the likelihood is that you're going to have cellulite. Conversely, women who tend to have naturally a higher level of testosterone tend to have a lower level of cellulite. Now, these are women who tend to have fewer curves. They have more, put on muscle much easier, tend to have a very athletic build, thinner hair, drier skin. And genetically speaking, there are those rare individuals, rare meaning like basically in my audience, 2% or less. Statistically speaking, they say 90% of women report that they've had cellulite or have cellulite. I just don't believe that 10% of women have no cellulite. I don't believe that. In my entire life, I think I've only met one, maybe two women who appeared to have no cellulite. And the only way that I can say that is because I've seen both of these women nearly naked. And these are just two acquaintances that I have. But most people, even the people you think don't have cellulite, they do. It's just in places where they've hidden it very well, or we disguise it. You know, you wear shorts that are a little bit longer, or you're just careful. That's because we've been told by society that cellulite is really unattractive, but it's so normal. So the first thing I wish we could do is just don't worry about it so much. Just know everybody has it. And I know that doesn't make it much easier because almost everyone had acne at some point too. But then there are those individuals who really get it bad. I'm not talking about the occasional blemish or having breakouts around that time of the month or even having breakouts when you're a teenager. I'm talking some people really struggle with cystic acne, the type of acne that just, it can infect the entire face. And that's the first thing people see when they see you. So yes, while there are certain things that all of us experience, I'm not in any way, shape, or form discrediting the fact that you might have, perhaps from a genetic standpoint, very pronounced cellulite, like everywhere. And it's not in your mind. You're not making a bigger deal out of this than what you should. It's really very severe. And there are those individuals who have that. And that, my friends, has a lot more to do with genetics than anything else. So don't try starving yourself or using lotions and creams. So the lotions and creams, let's just start there. Actually, let's start with what cellulite is, because then it's going to help you to make a lot better decisions when you're thinking about these things that are supposedly cures for cellulite. Okay, in a previous episode, which I will post the link to it below in the show notes, I go into great medical descriptive detail about the skin and the derma and how cellulite works. But I just want to make this like super easy for you to visualize. So we've got skin. Then beneath that, we have collagen, or like collagen type fibers that are called the dermis. Then we have what's called septae. And beneath that is our subcutaneous fat. And beneath that is our muscle. Okay, so let's review that again. You've got your skin, and then you've got collagen. And then you have the septae. Those are the fibrous bands. And then you have fat beneath those bands. And then you have muscle. So our fat sits on top of the muscle. And what's holding that fat down in place are these bands. Now, for men, their bands are organized in a way that's super convenient for them. They kind of look like fishnet stockings. I mean, I don't know if fishnet stockings is the perfect analogy, but they crisscross. Whereas our women's, females' bands, our septae, are organized as kind of like straight linear bands, which makes it a lot easier. There's more space. There's more opportunity for the fat to squish up between the bands. Does that make sense? And cellulite forms when those bands, the septae, which connect the skin to the underlying muscle and the fat to the muscle, when they get really tight and they pull down on the skin, that means they're not just pulling down the skin, but they're also pressing the fat down. So it makes like this abnormal dimple or hollow spot, if you will, that puckering. Okay, does that make sense? So those fibers pull down on the skin in that area and they kind of squish the fat into other areas. So it's literally like a little hollow pocket where you're missing some fat or it's pushed it out to the side. Now that I've described that for you and you're super smart, all of these treatments are going to make so much more sense. Okay, because the problem here is the septi. That's the problem. In other words, that's what's giving us that appearance of cellulite. Now, the cellulite can be more pronounced as we gain more body fat, but that certainly doesn't prohibit someone who has incredibly low body fat. I mean, we're talking when my body fat was so dangerously low that my period had stopped and you could see every striation of my muscles. I still had cellulite. As we gain body fat, it tends to be more pronounced because the fat cells expand. Right? So then the area around that dimpled area gets fuller and the dimpled area stays depressed or shallow or hollow, if you will. Knowing that, you might then ask yourself, well, then what's the point of all of these special serums and people talking about drinking more water, eliminating toxins from your diet? Okay, here's the deal. Those lifestyle approaches are important because what they will do is likely diminish the water that you're holding. So as you know, inflammation is what makes our bodies hold on to water. When our bodies hold on to water, they hold on to that systemically throughout the body and especially in our subcutaneous fat and other areas of the body. So it's going to look more pronounced if our body's inflamed. So yeah, you can reduce the appearance of it by taking a lifestyle approach, by improving your diet, by eliminating the toxins that are in your diet, by eliminating processed foods, by drinking more water, by getting more sleep, by getting more exercise. That's definitely going to reduce the appearance of it. And that's free. And as an extra added benefit, you're going to live longer and feel better and look better and be more confident. And, you know, so that's a win-win. So do all those things for sure. But don't take on all those lifestyle changes and then, you know, look in the mirror at your rear end 6 months later and be depressed that you don't see a dramatic change. Oh my gosh, those dimples are still there. Yeah, the dimples are still going to be there, but you can diminish their appearance. And it's likely pretty subtle in much the same way most all other topical treatments are. So any topical treatment, serums, lotions, anyone who tells you or tries to sell you on the fact that applying some topical serum, I don't care how they're rubbing it in, has removed or eliminated their cellulite is a shyster. You heard it here first. And I feel bad saying this because I'm sure there are certain people that they believe it. And guess what? If you have a cellulite cream or a serum that you think has really dramatically reduced the appearance of your cellulite, then you should continue using it because it's going to boost your confidence. And that's really, at the end of the day, that's the most important thing, is that you're not worrying about this so much because it's life and we all have it and we have to live with it. So if it makes you happy and you feel like it is helping you, continue to use it. That's great. But just know this, it's not lifting the septa. It's probably minimizing the swelling or the water retention in that area. So it's minimizing the appearance of it. And maybe that's all you want, just to minimize it a little bit. Okay, great. Then continue with those serums. Other things you can do to minimize the appearance of it temporarily are to, for example, go into a hot sauna. Do that just before your vacation and sweat out all your water and dehydrate yourself. And that might also help to reduce the appearance. What about fascia blasting? If you don't know what fascia blasting is, it is a technique where you use, I'm trying to think about how to describe it. Like, it's like a handheld massager, but it's got these rounded prongs on the end of it. And fascia blasting is when you take this handheld massaging device, it's like hard plastic, and you rub it really hard front and back, side to side, around in circles. The idea is you're supposed to be trying to break up the fascia, breaking up the septa, is not going to happen because it is so deep, because it is beneath the collagen, it's beneath the skin, it's beneath the collagen, and it's just above the fat. So in order to like permanently break up that septa, to lift it, to untether it, if you will, you would have to do it so often and so hard and so frequently. And most of the studies that I've looked at, people who've seen decent results from fascia blasting, they literally have to do it every single day. And for a good period of time, I'm going to say like anywhere from 5 to 15 minutes. Frankly, if you've got that kind of time, I'm hoping that you're prioritizing your exercise first. And, you know, If fascia blasting is something you want to do on top of that, okay. But most women report that when they stop doing it daily, their condition comes back. Now, I want to state clearly, I'm a fan of fascia blasting for other things. Like, I will fascia blast the bottom of my feet after I'm done running. Anytime I'm like really tight in certain areas, especially when I had my hamstring injury, I did fascia blasting for my hamstring just to keep things soft and subtle and the tissue soft. So I'm a fan of fascia blasting. I just want you to understand how cellulite works and the commitment that you'd have to make to see that subtle difference and that you'll have to continue it. But it's an option and it's non-invasive and it really just takes a little bit of elbow grease. So if you want to go for it and try that, give it a try. Why not? I'm way more a fan of fascia blasting than I am the lotions and serums. Without a doubt, fascia blasting improves circulation. And that is for sure something that can improve the appearance of cellulite, because one of the reasons why we start to see more cellulite as we age is our circulatory system doesn't work as well. So when you have poor circulation, you're going to see a lot of things, a lot of things you don't want to see, including a greater or more pronounced appearance of cellulite. So again, the fascia blasting, it just feels really good. Like, I will do it on my thighs. Sometimes, I don't know if this happens to you, but if I've been sitting for a long time, I just feel like I'm forming varicose veins. I just feel like my blood is stopping. My legs feel achy. And so I have a fascia blaster next to my couch and I'll just like fascia blast my thighs and like around my knees and around my ankles. Sometimes I'll do my hamstrings just to kind of get blood circulating. I don't personally do it for cellulite purposes. I like using it for circulation and to keep the tissues soft. The other thing that naturally improves the appearance of cellulite is putting muscle in your lower body. I mean, that's where you're worried about your cellulite. For most of us, it's our butt, it's our outer thighs, our inner thighs, tops of our thighs, you know, sometimes the backs of your arms, and sometimes it's the stomach. Like, it's just, you know, the areas where you carry body fat. That's where you're going to see cellulite. Isn't it weird you don't usually see it on breasts? That's interesting. Anyways, for our purposes, let's assume that the area that's giving you the most trouble is your lower body. The other way you can naturally improve the appearance is by making sure that your muscles are strong. Because if the muscles are lax, if your muscles have atrophied, meaning they've begun to shrunk, they're not as strong as they once were, a couple of things happen. Number one, your body fat tends to go up. And because there isn't muscle underneath the fat layer, that can create more of a hollowing effect. So in other words, your muscle kind of like keeps everything taut and tight. And that's why you've heard the term before, skinny fat, where someone, you know, is thin, but they never do any strength training. Now, here's what's tricky is someone who is underweight, sometimes they give this false appearance that they have muscle because they're underweight. So they might have low body fat, which means you can see their muscle, but their muscle isn't developed. It's not rounded. It's not full, if you will. It lacks hypertrophy or size. And what can be really confusing for someone who's dropped a lot of weight because they primarily did cardio or maybe they did it exclusively through diet and they didn't focus on their strength training is you'll see muscle in certain areas because the skin is just laying closer to the muscle, but the muscle isn't full, if that makes sense. So you can tell, and typically someone will be termed skinny fat, and I'm not a big fan of that term, but it's just a phrase that's used, especially in the personal training industry. You'll notice their lower body is typically atrophied. They just don't consume enough calories in order to put on and build muscle. In which case, even if it's a lower amount of body fat and there's no hypertrophy of the muscle, pushing the muscle outward, like rounding out the butt or rounding out the quads and hamstrings. So therefore, those septa bands will pull whatever little body fat they have all the way down to the muscle, and they will have an appearance of cellulite that just kind of doesn't make sense because you're like, oh, this person's so thin and they have pretty low body fat. Why do they have so much cellulite? Now, that was the case for me. When I did get my body fat super low, because I was over-exercising, I was doing massive amounts of cardio. And because there's only so many hours in the day, I was really prioritizing my cardiovascular training to achieve this specific look. But I'm telling you, I lost the muscle tone in my legs, in my butt. Like, my butt went completely flat. I mean, my muscles didn't pop at all. I felt weak, but yet my body fat was low and I had more pronounced cellulite. Collagen. Collagen is also another thing that you can consume, which will improve the appearance, but it's not going to remove it entirely. But there's no question that women who are very low on collagen. They're not supplementing with a quality collagen product. You are going to likely see a lot of things that relate to collagen. So if you don't have that layer of collagen that's above your body fat and above your septa, it's going to look more pronounced. But collagen obviously improves hair and nails and skin and just makes us look more radiant. So the things that we can do to naturally decrease the appearance of cellulite are the things you should be doing anyways. I mean, just put the cellulite aside for a second. Who really even cares? You should be doing all of these things anyways because it's going to make you feel better, have more energy, look more radiant, have more confidence, and live longer. So you've got to exercise, drink more water, get more sleep, make sure you're taking a quality collagen product. And no, I'm not going to do any recommendations for you on this particular podcast because I haven't done enough research there to feel comfortable sharing the collagen product that I take. Okay, so collagen, and then reducing the amount of processed foods that you're taking, reducing alcohol consumption, reducing everything that causes inflammation, and that's going to help you live longer. That's also how we are able to prevent most diseases that kill us. And as an extra added bonus, it could diminish the appearance. It will diminish the appearance of your cellulite. Okay, but let's say you want to do something more aggressive. What are we looking at? I will place a link in the show notes to the episode that I did with Dr. K of Pasadena, California, regarding the treatment of cellulite. And one of the procedures she talked about in that episode, at the time it had just been released, is a product called Quo. And Quo is an FDA-approved injectable. In fact, it's the only injectable that's been approved for cellulite. Now, the thing with cellulite injectables is it does take more than one treatment. So with Quo, it takes three treatments, typically 3 weeks apart. The treatments are pretty painless. They only take like 10 minutes. There is pretty significant bruising, but almost no downtime. Now, when I had Dr. K on the show, it was newly FDA approved, and she was going to be one of the first practitioners to use it and try it here in the United States. And there are some doctors who love it. I did get an update from Dr. K today, and she said, you know what? I really am not a fan of it because in my experience, there was too much staining of the skin, leaving kind of a dark color or tone to the skin in the area where it's injected. Not on all patients, but enough that she has discontinued its use. I reached out to a few other plastic surgeons and a dermatologist and asked what their experience was with using Quo. And the few that I did talk to said they didn't have that particular experience. They were a fan of Quo, but I just didn't hear like insane raving reviews. They said, yeah, it works. It is an injectable. And there are other injectables that work as well. But again, as I mentioned with all injectables, you have to think about migration, like could it move? And with most fillers, they're temporary. So over time, your results are diminished and you would have to go back and do additional treatments. But it's non-invasive. In most cases, for whatever type of injectable you're considering, do your research. Please do your research. And if you don't know how to do your research or based on the type of cellulite you have, what type of procedures you are a best candidate for and which doctor to go to, please, I beg of you, don't just use Yelp reviews. Don't just use Google reviews. Don't go based off of one friend who went to someone and had a good experience. Use a trusted consultant to do their due diligence for you. A consultant who is not paid by the doctors, hello, but paid directly by the patients. It's paid by you. I recently did a consultation with a gal that I actually featured here on the show too, Melinda Farina, and you can reach out to her or you can check out her website. They are thebeautybrokers.com. And basically, they are an aesthetic consulting company. Even though she's in New York, she travels the whole United States. Her vetting process is insane. Like two people who are looking for the exact same procedure, who are the exact same age, and everything else looks the same. She's probably going to recommend two different doctors and potentially even two different treatments because she really factors in everything, like your age, your skin, your aesthetic, where you live, how much you want to pay, what type of bedside manner you're looking for from your physician. And all she cares about is people getting exceptional results, and she'll work within your budget, and it's super duper affordable. So, you know, and she also lets you consult for up to three different things. So I'm just saying, If you think you want to do plastic surgery or something else with, where you could end up deformed, like spend the money doing it the right way by having somebody else who's an expert help you choose the right physician, the right surgeon, the right provider. Because even with cellulite, there are different types of cellulite. So you might have dimples, right? Well, there's a dimple here, and you could literally draw a circle around it. And then there's a dimple over here, and there's one over here. And these three spots really drive me crazy. Or you might have the type of cellulite that almost kind of looks like a rippling effect, where there's not like one specific dimple, but it just looks like almost like soft waves or bumpy, if you will. Not like the deep pockets, but more so just not smooth. And it's concentrated in a specific area. That's a different type of cellulite, which might require a different type of treatment. Again, I want to say I am not the expert on this. I haven't done any of these treatments myself. So let me be very clear about that. But I've been doing my research and efforts to provide you with more information for this episode so that you can do more of your own research. But if you do have the type of cellulite that is, it's not just concentrated in one dimple or, you know, very easily identifiable spots, but it's more so an area that looks lumpy, wavy, that sort of appearance. Some other treatments that you might want to look into include pulse wave technologies. And one of these devices is called the Resonic. It's spelled R-E-S-O-N-I-C. There's minimal down pain. There's very, very low pain. And what they're doing is they're using this big device and they'll roll it over an area. Like let's say it's your buttocks or your outer thighs. They just roll it all over that area. And what it does is it softens all of those septa bands by sending pulse wave technology. It's almost like sound waves. And those sound waves break up the septa. Now, the reason why you might want to consider that if you have like areas where you have cellulite that's not very specific is because that's not a specific treatment. It's for a large area, so it's going to break down the septa everywhere, which means you're going to have a minimized appearance everywhere, and it doesn't specifically target a single dimple or a single pocket, if you will. By the way, I'm going to put some links in our show notes to before and afters, and some of these before and afters are on different doctors' websites. And remember, like I said, with all this stuff, you can't even trust before and afters, but I'm going to put them there for you to save you some time, but just I want you to know that even before and afters, people can doctor them. It doesn't mean that you're going to have that result. And obviously, before and afters are only ever going to be the best cases, the best case scenarios. People aren't going to put a before and after up if they spent all this money to have one of these services done and they didn't get results. You're not going to see that before and after. So you're not seeing all the before and afters. You're only seeing the absolute best cases. Keep that in mind, okay? I mean, I would love to tell you that in doing the research for this episode, I found this like jaw-dropping treatment. But I'm going to get to one in just a moment that's a newly FDA-approved technique. But even with the one that I'm about to mention, I see much improved results for a specific type of cellulite. And I know you're listening to this episode hoping that I'm like, here it is, I found this magical thing that makes all cellulite go away. I haven't seen anything, and maybe that will come eventually. But it's important for you to keep in mind that you need to evaluate price, risk, your tolerance for pain, how much downtime you need. Is this really that big of a deal? Is this what you should be worrying about? Is this what you should be spending your money on? Right? I mean, that part is up to you. And then if you do decide, I have to do something about this, really understand what it is you need and what type of cellulite you're dealing with. Because sometimes it's just skin laxity. Once we reach a certain age, our skin loses elasticity and it starts to take on a more bumpy, lumpy, less smooth appearance. Thank you, age. Thank you, gravity. It just does. And the way you know if that's what's going on versus seeing true cellulite is if you just pull your skin upward. Like let's say you're seeing some dimpling on your thighs that you didn't see before. If you just pull upward on your skin and the lumpiness disappears, well, then that's skin laxity. And that should probably be treated in a way that's very different from cellulite. I'm not even going to get into that, but there are people doing, you know, thigh lifts now where you just, it's kind of like you pull your skin up like a pair of pantyhose and it just smooths out all the wrinkles. But again, that's a very serious, major surgery. And you're going to have huge scars. you might require a combination of procedures. As I mentioned, if you are actually seeing what you're seeing looks like cellulite to you, but when you pull up on your skin, you realize, oh, it's actually very smooth. It's really more a matter of the aging process and losing the elasticity in our skin. You might also consider thermage or another treatment that makes the skin thicker, makes the skin more full and radiant and younger by producing more collagen. So a treatment like thermage might be something that's far less invasive, and it might be a combination of doing thermage and Resonic and doing a couple of non-invasive treatments, again, to improve the appearance. And again, these are all FDA-approved treatments that show moderate improvements to those with moderate cellulite. Okay, so let's talk about skin tightening of the skin through radio frequency, not just the tightening of the skin, but also the destruction of fat cells, which then your body recycles basically through your lymphatic system. That's why you want to do lymphatic massages after these types of treatment. And also it will not just break down the fat, but improve or stimulate your own natural collagen production. And that is by using radio frequency. Again, who's a good candidate for this? Somebody who has moderate to mild cellulite for the buttocks, the hips, the thighs. This will also require several or multiple treatments. And frankly, when I looked at the research on it, the results were inconsistent. You know, you really had to, in my opinion, you have to remember, okay, I'm looking at the absolute best photos they have. And when I would see them, I wouldn't go like, wow, that's really good. I would look at some of the before and afters and go like, okay, yeah, I can see it looks better. But again, you're looking at the very best case scenarios. You're not looking at the people who possibly did. And I'm not saying I know for a fact this happens, but obviously there are people, because I've read their reviews, who said, I had it, I paid a lot of money, I did multiple treatments, and I just didn't see much of a difference. Okay, so I've saved what most of the experts I talked to agree is by far the most effective and permanent solution to cellulite. This is a surgical procedure referred to as subcision. And subcision, it's really considered the most permanent, the most long-lasting. Again, not everyone's going to get insane results, but of everyone who I talked to, they said, yeah, this is kind of the gold standard, but it is also very expensive. And not everyone is an ideal candidate for subcision. The person who is an ideal candidate for subcision, of course, based on your consultation with your surgeon, is someone who has very specific dimples, very specific pockets that they want to lift or free, if you will. And that's basically what subcision is. They go in with a microscopic tool and basically inject the skin or puncture the skin. And if you can picture these bands pulling your skin downward, they actually cut and free the band. So they release them, which allows that skin to then lift. But the skin lifts, but the fat doesn't automatically fill that area. So as I understand it, it's a combination procedure where they cut the bands, and that's permanent. So now, unlike a filler where you're just filling in the dimple, but yet the band is still pulling the skin down, in this particular procedure, they use a specific tool, and there's two different types I'm going to tell you about, where they actually cut the band, and then typically they transfer your own fat to fill in that divot, but the divot then doesn't go back down because the band has been untethered. It's been cut, if you will. The latest FDA-approved tool to do this is called Aveli, and I'm going to spell it A-V-E-L-I. I will link to two recent research studies that they did using this particular tool. Each one of them had over 100 participants, and this is the part that's pretty encouraging. I'm going to read to you from this research, which, by the way, I have linked in our show notes. Procedures were performed on 126 patients, 121 of them women, and 5 of them men. The majority considered their results and ranked them good to excellent. The complication rate was low, with most common complications being contour irregularities, partial reoccurrence, seromas, and numbness. I mean, those are kind of a big deal. Now, what seroma is, a seroma is when fluid collects underneath the skin. It's not that serious. It can be drained. Partial reoccurrence, meaning some of the cellulite comes back or is present after the procedure. That doesn't surprise me. Then it also says One other complication was contour irregularities. Well, that's interesting because that's what you're going there for in the first place, right? I mean, cellulite in and of itself, the problem is that there's an irregularity that you're trying to get rid of. So they're listing that as a complication. I'm wondering if that's not more a problem with using a practitioner who isn't well-practiced. And so, I mean, there's an aesthetic to this. You have to be an artist. Like, we're talking about inserting a very fine device under the skin, and it looks, if you can imagine, I know this is going to sound graphic, but it almost looks like a crochet hook, but super duper fine, okay? And they give you a local in that area so you don't feel anything. Again, I haven't done this. I've just done my research. And they inject that under the skin, under the buttocks, and they go directly into the dimple, into the area that's depressed, that's being pulled down, and they actually use that little hook, and they unhook or untether those bands. I'm very partial to someone who has an artistic eye. Obviously, based on my own experience, I'm very partial to female plastic surgeons. I think that they understand a certain aesthetic. Certainly, my own experience has left me feeling a little nervous, I mean, traumatized. I mean, trust me, I will never, ever consider doing a procedure again unless, obviously, it's one of the surgeons I've already worked with in the past, or I'm using an expert like the beauty brokers to help me find the surgeons who need to fix and correct the things that, unfortunately, have been botched by my most recent experience. Okay, so back to Avalee. Avalee was recently FDA approved. What does that mean? It means that not a lot of doctors have used this technique yet, which means people are just getting started. And it's like anything. I personally believe even though something has been FDA approved, give it time. I mean, you really want people to become specialized and experts at these things. Before this particular tool was developed and FDA approved, surgeons were using a subcision technique that used a needle or kind of like microblading to cut the fibrous septa. But this new tool, so that's still available, and it's called Selfina. And I think a lot more surgeons do Selfina because, again, it's been around, I think, since 2015. And again, they're actually cutting the band, so they're lifting that area. But what they weren't doing until this is fat grafting at the same time. So this new tool, apparently, the fat grafting is utilized to correct the depression and also to improve the skin quality. So it's not just the subcision, but it's also, it's kind of like doing multiple treatments at once, if that makes sense. Okay, so let's back it up. My goal was to start this episode off by helping to normalize the fact that almost all women on the planet have cellulite. It's not that big of a deal. We all have it. I want to normalize it first. Then I also want to recognize that it is your right to feel good. And if something is, you can't think about anything else and it's destroying your confidence, then I'm a fan of you doing whatever it is you need to do, but also to do so with all the knowledge you need to protect yourself and to truly go into this without rose-colored glasses on, to understand that the pictures you're seeing on the internet are only going to be the absolute best before and afters. You're not going to see the photos of people who they paid all this money and they didn't get any kind of a result that they're excited about. You're not going to see the pictures of people who've had complications. You're not going to see pictures of the extensive bruising. You're not going to hear people complaining on the websites about how expensive it was and how painful it was and that it really didn't do anything for them. You're not going to see that because that's just how marketing works. You need to know that. You also need to understand that changing anything about your body, anything, isn't going to bring you happiness. It's not going to change the way people think of you or feel about you. It's not going to change your status in the world. It's not going to bring you happiness or joy or love or make you more lovable. It's not going to do any of those things. It might improve your confidence at best, but it could also diminish your confidence. You could have horrible complications, spend a ton of money doing this, feel worse about yourself, and be in a worse state financially. Those are things I would not have said 2 years ago. I was so like pro, if you want it, go get it, girl. Like, it's your body, it's your life. You've got one life to live. Do what makes you feel good. But today, because I've talked to so hundreds of women from all around the country who've had bizarre complications and really went into this expecting one thing and getting something completely different, my own perspective has changed because I have more education. I have more awareness, more knowledge. And it's my job, as I see it, to share that with you so that you can make a really well-informed, realistic decision before you do anything, if you do anything. There's so much risk with all of this. I'm not trying to encourage any of it. I'm not trying to discourage any of it. What I am trying to do is implore you to do your research, but also to realize that so much of what we see as flaws and that drive us crazy, no one else sees. No one else sees it. I can think of like 10 things about myself right now. I saw this TikTok the other day, and I wanted to share this with you. So it was this woman, and she showed like beautiful music, and the words on the screen said, what people see when I show them my house. And it was just like sparkly and beautiful and white, and everything was this lovely aesthetic. And then she said, here's what I see. And she zoomed in on like the chips on the baseboard, the gap in the seal in the way that the dishwasher didn't close properly, a small stain on the carpet. One of the knobs to the cabinet in her kitchen was falling down. Dirty fingerprints all over the walls. You know, like the dead plant in the corner. In other words, what we see are the tiny little imperfections. And everybody else sees the whole picture. When I ask you to pull up the image right now of some of your favorite people, do you think about any of their imperfections? Do you think about, oh, yeah, okay, so I've got that one friend who kind of has a big nose, and then there's this friend who has a lot of cellulite, and then there's this friend, she definitely could use larger breasts, and then there's this friend, yeah, she definitely has a lot of wrinkles on her face. Like, we don't think of each other in that way. We pick ourselves apart. We see our own imperfections. It's what we focus on. And a lot of that is because of social media. I mean, there's so many things that I wouldn't normally see or notice as imperfections, or I wouldn't even think of them as imperfections, except that there are these filters that change everything about your face. And then you're like, oh gosh, yeah, maybe I do need higher eyebrows and a smaller nose and a turned up chin or lighter eyes, like whatever it is. That part of the reason why we think we have to change ourselves is because these filters change us, number one. And number two is because we're seeing all these like fake things on social media where people have probably changed themselves using filters and Photoshops, etc. We're just much harder on ourselves than anyone else. And listen, your girl has done plenty of things. And to be honest, I plan on doing things in the future too. There's a whole bunch of things I now have to have fixed. Thank you very little. So I'm not going to try to pretend to preach like, you know, you're perfect as you are. Don't change anything. I mean, you are perfect. You are absolutely perfect. And I really do think we should try to fix our personalities and our shortcomings before we fix like all the physical things. But sometimes the physical things are easier to fix. And so if you're going to do that, more power to you, but please empower yourself with knowledge and a realistic expectation, and know that there are lots and lots of risks that are involved, and it's not going to change who you are because you're already awesome. All right, listen, I love you. I mean it, and I'll talk to you soon.
If you enjoyed this show, please don't forget to make sure you are subscribed and following along. The Chalene Show is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and most every podcast app. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to leave a 5-star review and tell us specifically what you enjoyed. We'd love to know. The Chalene Show is released every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. For Tuesdays and Thursdays, be sure to follow and subscribe to Chalene's other podcast, Build Your Tribe, which she co-hosts with her son, Brock Johnson. It's all about business, social media, and marketing, and devoted to helping you make more money and live more life. Links to anything referenced in today's episode, as well as show sponsors and other podcasts, can be found below in our show notes.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.